Go. Hello, KRFY listeners. And now we are moving on to our second interview of the day. And it's a really great one. I've been looking forward to it. I am here to welcome TJ Ross and Rob Ryan of Idaho Fish and Game. And we are going to talk about all things late summer and fall fishing. Welcome, TJ, and welcome, Rob.
Thank you, Julie. It's always a pleasure to be on the show, so appreciate you giving us the opportunity.
We feel the same. TJ, tell me what you do for Idaho Fish and Game. And after you're finished, Rob, please tell us what you do.
Yeah, so my title is Regional Communications Manager. So, I write press releases, I interact with the public, I interact with the media. And really, when people ask that question, what I boil it down to is I tell our story. I try to communicate to sportsmen what we're doing, why we're doing it, and how it directly benefits them.
All right, and how did you come to be in this position here at Idaho Fish and Game?
Oh man, I'll keep it short. It's a roundabout story, but started as a fish biologist for 9 years and realized that I really enjoyed being able to tell people our story, and to see the light bulb go on when they realize how we're working for them and the ways that we're trying to serve them. And so it was something I recognized in myself that I was passionate about. And a year ago, the position opened and I put my name in the hat and was lucky enough to be chosen for it.
Well, good for you. And it is very important for people to understand what Fish and Game is doing because a lot of it is behind the scenes. So we do appreciate you getting out and letting us know what's happening. Rob, Ryan, tell us about your job and what you do and how you came to be here.
Yeah, so I'm a regional fishery biologist for the department, and essentially what that means is that I keep track of fish populations across the panhandle. So I'm out there sampling, counting, measuring, keeping track of fish, and then using that information to try to make recommendations about how to make fishing better. So if you see rules in the rule book about fishing in the background, somebody like me was thinking about how those rules impact your fishing experience and how we hope to make it better by using those rules or maybe stocking fish. We make a lot of recommendations on how to use hatchery fish, a variety of things. So that's the basics. And I guess I've been doing it for quite a while. I've been with the department going on 20 years, worked around the state in a variety of capacities, doing similar things, but in different places and in different times. So.
All right. Well, what I'm hearing is that you do some research, make some suggestions, they get implemented, and then poor TJ's got to explain it all to the public.
Exactly. That's
Yeah.
what it is.
That is how it works. And it's a good system. And I will say, I'll throw a pitch in for Rob. He is a darn good fish biologist.
Yeah, good to hear it. We want to know we've got good people working for Fish and Game. Well, we basically would like to learn everything about what's going on in late summer and fall fishing and Fish and Game. And I know that you wanted to tell us some things about why Fish and Game does some of the things it does. So maybe a quick fishing report. Why? What's going on? Where might people want to be dropping their lines? We could start with that.
Yeah, there's a lot of good fishing opportunities out there. We've had I'll say a little bit cooler summer than maybe our last for sure. And that's resulted in kind of longer lingering seasons with good catch rates for fish, especially in some of our streams where we can often see some of those impacts from warm water temperatures. But places like the Coeur d'Alene River and the St. Joe River are still fishing good. Of course, our area here in the Panhandle has a lot of flat water, good lake fisheries, and kokanee fishing is just turning on for places like Lake Ponderay. We'll see some great catch rates here in the next few weeks starting. So both very good opportunities. Of course, we've got ongoing fisheries for walleye and lake trout in Priest Lake. And nice thing about the Panhandle is there's variety, and we've got it all. And this is a great time of year to experience those fishing opportunities.
I think I agree. I keep my ear to the ground because I'm a fly fishing person, but I have heard that the kokanee is starting to take off and there's some real opportunities in the lake. So I'll look forward to hearing more about that from some of my friends. And I'll tell you that I've been up to fish the Kootenai a number of times this year, and it's really a fun river and it fishes well. I love that river.
I've got a sweet spot in my heart for the Kootenai. I spent 9 years working on the Kootenai River, trying to get the burbot fishery up and going and monitoring rainbow populations. So I love hearing that. Kootenai is a special place. I'm very biased, but I think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I really love it too. Well, TJ, I know you have a few things you want to talk about, so I'm going to let you just launch in.
Yeah. So this time of year, we get quite, not overwhelming, but quite a few questions about, you know, it's hot. It's the peak of summer. We're hitting every now and then we're hitting 100 degrees, consistently staying in the 90s, and water temperatures start warming up. And in the midst of that, people notice that some of the surrounding states start implementing what is called hoot owl hours. So where people can fish in the mornings and in the evenings, but in the heat of the day that people are not allowed to fish. And so we get questions, is Idaho Fish and Game going to do that? If so, why? If not, why? And so just wanted to clarify that for some folks. We've taken a very different approach, and kind of the thought process is that these fish, these trout, these other cold water fish species, they have been around for a while, and they have experienced the warm temperatures. They experience them every year, and they're pretty darn good at figuring out where they need to go when it gets hot, and finding those cold water pockets, whether it's moving up into a tributary, moving into a lake, sitting at the mouth of a tributary, they can find the cold water that they need. So we don't implement the hoot owl hours. And we've done studies specifically to understand why we don't implement those hoot owl hours. And so we just encourage folks to get out and fish and to feel good about it, to obviously be responsible if they're catching fish and it's in the heat of the day, those fish are going to be stressed out. And so to try to reduce the fight times as much as possible, try to get them back in the water as soon as they can, but really just not wanting people to feel guilty about getting out and fishing in the heat of summer. It's a great time to be outside and to enjoy all that Idaho has to offer.
Okay. And I was just about to ask you a question about that. You know, for catch and keep people, it doesn't matter. You're going to throw them in your cooler, and that's plenty of people in Idaho, but it sounds like you're really not worried about, as long as people are prudent, you're not overly worried about returning catch and release fish back into the fisheries.
Yeah, that's right. And I think the big kicker to that is the study that was done a few years ago. Basically showed that when fish are caught and the water's warm, it's the heat of the day, it is a stressful experience for them, and they do survive at a lower rate because of that. However, that's all nestled in that people are not catching as many fish in the heat of the day. Fish, when they get stressed out and the water starts to warm up, they're not biting as much. So it's kind of a self-regulating thing. Yeah, some of the fish may not do very well. Some of them may die, but not near as many fish are being caught when it's that hot anyway. So that's kind of the rationale behind it, is that some individual trout may be negatively impacted by it, but at a population level, it's negligible.
Okay, that's interesting. And what angler wants to be out in the heat of the day on a really hot day? I would agree 100% with that. And the fish do seem to not want to bite when we're all hot and warm water, et cetera. So that does make sense. I think you were going to touch on thinking that people might be reminded of a fish kill that happened last year on the Priest River. Would you like to talk about that?
Yeah. And Rob, feel free to chime in on this if you want to. So there was a fish kill that happened on Priest River in 2021 that I would say it was unexpected.
Yeah, it was unexpected. I think, you know, traditionally, we don't see fish kills on the Priest River on a regular basis. And usually that relates to how weather patterns come and go. And we don't often see big hot spikes early in the summer just show up and change water temperatures rapidly. So I think that example in 2021 was unique in that we had conditions where it warmed up very rapidly, water temperatures spiked quickly, and the fish weren't ready for it, so to speak.
Yeah,
I think they hadn't readjusted or gone to the cooler spots, you're saying.
Right, yep.
Yeah, and I think one of the kickers to that is that, not all rivers are created equally. So a place like Priest River, a place like the Spokane River, they are getting their water from the surface of a lake. So Priest River is getting its water, you know, over Outlet Dam from the surface of Priest Lake, Spokane River from Coeur d'Alene Lake. Those lakes are huge masses of water that when the sun's beating down on them, they heat up, and all of that water on the surface is what's feeding those rivers. And so those rivers kind of start off warm. So at a bit of a disadvantage relative to something like the St. Joe or...
St. Joe or Coeur d'Alene River, they start from high in the mountains, snowmelt or spring type sources where the water's very cold when it starts. It means that it does warm up as it goes downstream, but usually you've got a long reach of stream where water temperatures are cold enough to support good, strong populations of cold water fish like trout.
Yeah, those rivers both strike me as long-term trout fisheries. The Priest River, it seems like its future might be up in the air with the way, with where the water comes from and warming temps throughout the world. But I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. And you know that the Priest River, it has limitations that are related to temperature. It has some limitations related to habitat as well. But you know, it's one of those rivers that I've been on it. I've floated it. I've walked up to the shoreline. I love to fish for trout. And at first glance, I look at that river, and I want to wet a fly in there. Like, it looks really good. It looks like it should hold some trout, but you know, relative to a river like the St. Joe or the North Fork of the Coeur d'Alene, the trout densities in Priest River are, I don't know how much lower, but
rough comparison, some of that, like the lower end of the Coeur d'Alene River that people might think of if you've been there, below the North Fork and before you hit Cataldo, that's similar to the Priest River. And if you were to compare cutthroat densities in the Priest River to that section of the Coeur d'Alene River, you'd find about 30 times more cutthroat in the Coeur d'Alene River. So considerably different.
Yeah,
but that is colder water in the Coeur d'Alene River, and that makes a big difference.
That's very interesting. And you know, note to self, in the summertime I need to be heading down that way.
Unless you want to go swim, then right, it might be nice and warm and you can jump in and swim comfortably.
That's right. All right, well, we've covered something I know you wanted to cover, which is why Idaho's policy toward hoot owl regulations is different than for example Montana. I think listeners will appreciate knowing that. Is there anything else you'd like to talk to us about in regards to late summer, fall fishing, anything we should be thinking about looking forward to?
You got anything, Rob?
Boy, you know, I think there's a lot of great opportunities out there to be out fishing, and that fall's a great time when there's a lot fewer people on the water and temperatures start to cool in most of these places. So you'll see fish redistributing and becoming active, and it's a great opportunity to get out and fish.
Yeah, fewer people, and maybe the fish are getting a little busier.
Yeah, and even places like the Priest River, where habitat may not be great in the summertime, you can find those windows of opportunity in the spring and fall when fish redistribute and do use some of that habitat, and fishing can be a little bit better. Again, challenge with the Priest River is that overall there's a pretty challenging period in the year where it just limits really overall the number of fish that are there. So even in the best of times, fishing isn't quite as good there, but still a very pretty place and some opportunity to be had.
Beautiful place to be. Go guys.
No, I think I'd throw in a pitch just getting back to the Kootenai River. So one, because I love it. I know that you just said you fished it, but you know, things are starting to temperatures are starting to cool off a bit. Summer's winding down to an end, but we still got some hot days ahead of us. The Kootenai River is fairly unique in that the water coming out of Kookanoosa Reservoir is cold. It's typically drawn from the bottom of the reservoir, and that keeps the Idaho portion of the Kootenai River cold regardless of what the air temperatures are. So that's one that I often refer folks to when the heat is on in summertime. It's like, hey, Kootenai River is a good spot. Those fish are happy. That water is really cold. Go hit up the Kootenai. And so as we still have some lingering heat, if people are looking for a place to go, Kootenai's a good spot.
Yeah, I think that's good advice, although I hate it that you just said that over the airwaves, because it's going to be
looking at
my private little, what feels like my private Idaho river.
I know, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Well, all right. If that's everything, I just want to really thank you guys for the work that you do on keeping our fisheries healthy and going, and appreciate that we have an Idaho Fish and Game that is studying our fish and doing everything you do. So I'm going to conclude. I want to thank you, TJ Ross and Rob Ryan, for giving us a late summer update on what's happening with our fisheries. Appreciate you being here.
Thanks, Julie.
Thank you.
Yeah, very good.